Recorded Books presents To Defy a King by Elizabeth Chadwick. Narrated by Rosalind Landor. Chapter 1. The Marshall Manor of Caversham, Berkshire, January 1204.
It's not fair.
10-year-old Mahelt Marshall scowled at her older brothers, who were immersed in a boys' game involving a pretend raid on an enemy castle.
"Why can't I be a knight?"
"Girls don't go raiding," Will answered, with a superiority that came from being male, almost 14, and heir to the earldom of Pembroke. She made a grab for his horse's reins, and he snatched them out of her reach. "Girls stay at home and embroider, and bear children. Only men go to war."
"Women have to defend the castle when their lords are away," she pointed out. "Mama does. And you have to obey her."
Tossing her head, she looked at Richard, who was 12, and could sometimes be persuaded to take her part. But although a broad grin sprawled across his freckled face, he didn't leap to her defence.
"She has to do our Lord Father's bidding when he returns," Will retorted. "Papa doesn't send her out with a lance in her hand while he stays at home, does he?"
"I can pretend. It's all pretend anyway."
Mahelt was determined not to be bettered.
"You're not a man."
Richard's grin widened as Will flushed.
"Let her defend the castle," he said. "She might have to do it one day when she's married."
William rolled his eyes, but gave in.
"All right, but she's not a knight and she's not riding Equus."
"Of course not."
"And she can be the French. We're the English."
"That's not fair,"
Mahelt protested again.
"Don't play, then," Will said indifferently.
She shot her brothers a fulminating look. She wanted to ride Will's new mount because it was a proper, big, glossy horse, not a pony. She wanted to jump him over hedges as Will did and see how fast she could make him gallop. She wanted to feel the wind in her hair. Will had called him Equus, which he said was the Latin name the scribes wrote, meaning war horse. Richard's docile grey wasn't the same challenge, and she had almost outgrown her own dumpy little chestnut, which was stabled up with a leg strain. She knew she could ride as well as either of her brothers. Heaving a sigh, she stumped off with bad grace to defend the castle, which, for the purposes of the game, was the kennel keeper's hut. Here were stored the collars and leashes for the hounds, old blankets, hunting horns, various tools, baskets and bowls. A shelf at Mahelt's eye level held chubby earthenware pots of salve for treating canine injuries. Mahelt took one down, removed the lid of plaited straw, and immediately recoiled from the vile stench of rancid goose grease.
"Ready!"
she heard Richard shout. Her left arm crooked around the pot, Mahelt emerged from the shed, and, with a resolute jaw, faced the youths, who were fretting their mounts. Both boys wore makeshift lances fashioned from ash staves and gripped their practice shields at the ready. Uttering simultaneous yells, the brothers charged. Knowing they expected her to lose her courage and dash back inside the shed, Mahelt stood her ground. She scooped up a handful of grease, feeling it cold and squidgy soft between her fingers, and lobbed it at the oncoming horses. Will ducked behind his shield, which took the first impact, but Mahelt's next dollop struck him over the rawhide rim, splattering his cloak and the side of his neck. Another scoop burst on the shoulder of Richard's grey. His efforts to control his shying mount left him exposed, and her fourth handful landed a direct hit to his face.
"Ha! You're both dead!"
She leaped gleefully up and down.
"I win! I win!"
Triumph burned in her solar plexus. That was showing them. Will was off his horse like lightning. Mahelt shrieked and tried to run inside the shed, but he was too fast and caught her arm. She spun round in his grip and struck his chest with her salve-covered hand, smearing his cloak with rancid grease.
"It's dishonourable to strike a lady,"
she cried as he raised a threatening fist. Will looked at his bunched knuckles, and, lowering his arm, gave her a disgusted shove instead.
"Look what you've done to my cloak! I pity whoever gets you to wife! You're a
Sample complete. Ready to continue?